It is good to see you here this week. I know that there have been those that have been traveling. Some may still be traveling, and hopefully those who are not with us are not are absent because of health issues or things that have occurred in an accident or something of that nature. As we read our scripture reading, we find part of our text. And if you have your Bibles, you may already have them open there, but if not, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It is the closing verse of the chapter, and the admonition is there, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever." Recently, I've come to an understanding of something. During my weekly routine, and because of it, I have continued to grow. It is quite true that part of my weekly routine is stepping on and quickly stepping off the scales. Part of my daily routine is getting dressed, and one thing I've realized, no, my legs are not getting any longer. I'm not getting any taller. And before anybody comments on this, I'm not here to talk this morning about my waistline. I suspect that every preacher in the church today has fear of becoming a big man in the brotherhood in that way. We're all growing physically in one way or the other. But the gain that I wish to discuss is the type of increase which should never cease with a child of God. That which Peter addresses in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 and many other passages that tell us to grow, to continue to take in knowledge that is richly supplied to us by our Heavenly Father in the sending of His Word, that we might better know Him, better know His Son, better realize and participate in the plan which He had before the foundation of the world and is now given to us. It is the responsibility of each Christian to grow spiritually. It's interesting to me that physical growth kind of just happens. It doesn't matter how much we eat, we're going to grow. And some people eat a little bit and grow a lot. Some people eat a lot and grow a lot. And some people eat a lot and grow a little. But that's physical. And it seems from that standpoint that it just happens. However, spiritual growth does not just happen. It's not something just because you've been here so many years that all of a sudden you're grown spiritually, that you continue to grow spiritually. We all begin our lives as babies physically. And if we continue to live, we are expected to grow. We become alarmed when a child does not grow, perhaps according to the norms. And then we look into it, and perhaps there's a deficiency or something of that nature. We're also expected to mature physically, and hopefully we do. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we see that as children of God, we all start when we are born into Christ. This is when we are babes. This is when we have just begun. We were born into the kingdom. Jesus talked to John, or to Nicodemus in John, and told him he must be born again. But in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we see that spiritually we are babes, but we are expected to continually to grow, to mature. And he said, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." It's interesting to me, if you've ever been around animals and if you've ever had an infant, that feeding is a very important thing. You wonder, how in the world is that child putting so much away? How much milk can he drink? How much baby food can he take in? How much can the young animal drink? But they continue that they might grow. They have a desire to take in the nourishment because their bodies require it. Christians should have a desire to take in spiritual nourishment because our souls require it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 states the reason we have been richly blessed with the divinely inspired Word of God. It also tells us of the good it will do us if it is used properly. You can have all of the right attire for inclement weather in your closet. And if you leave it in your closet and you go out and a storm comes up, you don't use that attire, it's not going to do you any good. The same thing is true of the Word of God. If you have a Bible and you never open it, you never read it or rarely read it, you're not going to grow. You're not going to learn. You're not going to mature as a Christian. We're told there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Nobody can say, well, that's not an inspired part. Every word in the Word of God is inspired. God breathed. It came to us from God, through the Spirit, to various and sundry men, given that information to pen for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, so that we might be taught, for reproof, so that we might be corrected, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17 supplies this, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, that the man of God may be whole or complete, that we have a balanced diet of spiritual nourishment provided for us. You see, God has given us everything that we need. In John, or 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, we see that John has written about some of the ways that a child of God can grow. And that growth helps us to overcome the temptations, the trials, and the tribulations of life. As he wrote, he said, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Yes, we can grow spiritually. And these are basically the points of the sermon, growing spiritually. We find the points there in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and following. By knowing that our sins are forgiven, by knowing him that is from the beginning, and by knowing the wiles of the devil. A child of God can grow spiritually in knowing that our sins are forgiven. In other words, we have to realize and understand that we have been redeemed. We are purchased with the blood of Christ once we obey the gospel. That should give us an understanding of the fact that we have been born. We cannot grow until we are born. We cannot mature or work toward maturing or knowledge or anything like that until we are born. The same, that's true physically. Yes, the child is forming in the womb, but until he is born, he cannot begin to fully grow or to become, to meet his full potential. Christians have obeyed the gospel. That is when they were born into the kingdom. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 makes it very clear that the gospel plan of salvation must be followed before one can become a child of God. But it does not stop there. Just because one has obeyed the gospel doesn't mean that they're saved and saved forever. Just because one has obeyed the gospel doesn't mean that they are continually growing. But then, because of our sins are forgiven, we can and must grow as we continue to walk in this newness of life. If not, and listen to this, if not, what's the benefit of being born again? If we don't grow, if we don't strive for maturity, if we don't grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Paul asked the question as the Spirit gave him these words to write, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The child of God was born when they entered into the water grave of baptism and came forth a new creature. Now their life has begun. And only Christians have the benefits afforded to the faithful children of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 provides a benefit that all need, but can only be accessed by those who are children of God. Cannot be accessed by the children of the world, the followers of the devil. He says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Only the child of God has that advocate. Only the child of God can access God through Christ. Imagine having access to the one who intercedes before us, before the God of heaven. This is what the faithful child of God has. What a wonderful thing. Would you not like to grow so that your access to him is more in accordance to what God would have? In John chapter 14 and verse 6, we know that this is before Jesus left. This is him talking to his apostles. We see that Christians that grow spiritually know the way of salvation, know that which was spoken by the Lord. And he spoke to his apostles elect even before the church was purchased by his blood. And he said to them there, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's just like saying, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And then he followed up with, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It is only through Christ that we have access to the Father. And only Christians have that access. People get upset with me sometimes when they understand what I'm saying, that they, as not having obeyed the gospel, do not have access to God. I've had people to argue with me and say, "Well, God heard my prayers." Even the poor man in John 9:31 fully understood. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But who is it that he hears? Those who do his will. Jesus said, "I am the way." Then we have further proof of this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. After Jesus Christ had given his life upon Calvary's cross, and in so doing purchased the church, he arose from the dead to die no more and was ascended to the Father. We are told, "Neither is there salvation in any other," talking about Christ, "for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so one can only have access to God once their sins are forgiven, once they are a child of God, and then they can grow spiritually. Those who teach man-made doctrine, false doctrine, because it's not aligned with the Word of God, are impediments to spiritual growth. We've oftentimes noticed in class that people have a lot of help misunderstanding Scripture. That is an impediment to spiritual growth. That's why it's important for Christians to get in the Word, stay in the Word, to live in accordance to the Word, that we might grow spiritually, that we might continue to be pleasing to God. And sure, these false teachers use the name Jesus in their teaching, but their doctrine is not supported by the Word of God. Every Christian should be able to turn in the Bible, or at least find in the Bible, the reason why we do what we do in worship, the reason why we live the lives that we live. Take a denominational person and set them down and say, "I want you to show me in the Bible why you do this." They're not going to be able to find it, because it's not there many times. There are some things that they do. They say, "Well, we meet upon the first day of the week. The first day of the week, that's right there in the Bible." But that doesn't make it right, because some of the other things that they do on the first day of the week, or some of the things that they fail to do. There are many who meet upon the first day of the week that fail to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why? Because spiritual growth hasn't occurred, and in many, many cases, spiritual birth hasn't occurred. One must live the Christian life in order to grow spiritually. You know, Christians should not go backward, but rather forward. Life sometimes deals some painful lessons. The shame that must exist when a person who perhaps has their right mind has to revert back to being diapered. That's going backward. But that is just a function of biology. There's no reason why Christians should ever go backward. They should always go forward. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and we use Paul as an example here. The Spirit had Paul write the Philippian brethren of the understanding all children of God should have and the direction that all faithful Christians should take. Paul had them to grasp this concept in the writing of this letter to them. Notice he said, not as though I had already attained. You know what? If every Christian would realize that, I've not made it yet, then we might seek to grow spiritually. In other words, we only have salvation in promise. I've not attained salvation yet. He says, either we're already perfect. In other words, everything's not complete. I've not reached the conclusion yet, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I've heard people say, no, I'm about ready to retire. I've done this for 40 years. Preachers, I've done this for 40 years. I'm about ready to retire. Sadly, some Christians retire. What was Paul telling them here? Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And growth is how this understanding is attained. And if you will be so kind now to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. We're going to see that in the context of daily living of faithful Christians, we're told how to begin and how to continue this growth process. It's not something that we come automatically with when we are born spiritually, when we become a child of God. The Apostle Paul, again, writing yet another letter to a different group of people, said, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. In other words, put them to death. What are these members? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. They themselves had one time participated in these kind of things. Notice, in the which you're also walked sometime when you lived in them. Not only do we put these things to death, these detestable things, but we are to address other things as well. Verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Those things that he has listed here were part of the old man. Not looking back, but always looking forward. Notice that all faithful Christians are to be busy growing spiritually. And we're all on the same plane. He was telling them in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all and in all. And then in verse 12, so all growing faithful Christians are to do as we read there. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. How do we do this? Well, verse 16, if you want to skip forward there, will tell us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is talking about every single day of our lives. Every single day of our existence here as children of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does it do? It teaches and admonishes us. And we are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at verse 17. Very clearly, keeping this in the context of learning and growing and continue to become stronger and more mature spiritually. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus by his authority. It is important that we realize and understand this. And as we're doing it, we ought to be appreciative. He concludes that passage by saying, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You stop and think about it. The opportunity to grow spiritually is a direct result of having the opportunity of being able to be born spiritually. And all of it was made available by Christ. A child of God can grow spiritually by knowing Him that is from the beginning. The little children and the fathers and the young men of 1 John chapter 2, which we read earlier, knew God. We can know God. We can know God through His Word. But we can also know that God is. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 attests to this. God has always provided proof of His existence. He's always provided proof of His power. He's always provided proof of His love. And He's extended that love to humanity so that we might one day spend eternity with Him. But all we have to do is look around at nature. All we have to do is look around at the wonderful things that God has given to know that God is. There we read, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Man has no excuse to not grow spiritually. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need that we might grow. All the nourishment that we need is right here. If we don't eat what's on the plate, whose fault is it? It's not the person who put it on the plate. If we don't partake of the Word of God, whose fault is it? It's not God. He's given it to us. And we can know Him. God has also told man in His Word who has been from the beginning. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, passages we're very familiar with, we know that before Jesus Christ was known as Jesus Christ, He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He preceded the beginning. All we know about the beginning is in the beginning God created. And that began things. But before that was, the Word was. And the Word has always been with God. And then, as we look in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we can see that that Word came in the flesh. That Word, Jesus Christ, made the way possible so that one could be reborn, so that they would be able to grow spiritually. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, the apostles had heard Him, which we, the apostles, have seen with our eyes, which we, the apostles, have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, or made known, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, bound together in love, growing spiritually, that one day we might be able to spend time with Him. It's interesting. Because of God's love, we can see from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 that we can be born of God, that we can know Him, and that we have the opportunity to grow spiritually. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, that means he who keeps the commandments of God, continually keeps the commandments of God, is born of God. In other words, they've seen within the commandments of God what one must do to become a child of God. And they have done these things out of love for God and a desire to be with Him and knoweth God. The ETH is there as well. We must continue to know God. And the only way that one can know God is to immerse themselves in His Word. But the child of God can grow spiritually by knowing the wiles of the devil. And you say, how in the world can a person grow by knowing the wiles of the devil? You know, a child learns a lot of times through experience. I know I've seen situations where mommy and daddy says, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. The child does it anyway. It's almost like putting wet paint sign on a bench. Put wet paint sign on a bench. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to walk up there with their finger and see if they can touch it. Don't touch that. It will shock you. What do? You jump back when you're shocked. That's humanity. That's what we do. But we learn from it. The child who got shocked after dad told him, don't bother that. There's a raw wire there. You're going to get shocked. He's careful next time. Same thing is true. The child of God can be strong, but it takes spiritual growth. The child who learns has grown a little bit in knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, we see the source of that strength. We see that why we need to be strong. And the faithful, spiritual, growing child of God will be aware of his enemy. Be aware of the pitfalls that are out there. Be aware of the tools of that enemy. And they learn continually how to overcome that enemy. He says there in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's telling them that they are now in the Lord. Therefore, they have a source of strength. They have access to the power of his might. But then he tells them how to get it. A lot of times people will go to God in prayer and they will say, give me strength. Give me courage. He's already provided the strength. He's already provided the courage. We just have to take it and put it on. What does he tell them there? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why did he provide this strength for us? So that we can overcome. How do we overcome? By being strong enough. How do we become strong enough? By going to the Word of God and remaining in the Word of God and learning that Word of God. Who is it we wrestle with? According to verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice that these things are not seen. The effect of those things are seen. The temptations that are placed before us are seen. But who is it that we wrestle against? Who is it that we fight against? Wherefore? Because you fight against these rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that day, and having done all to stand. If you underline in your Bible, underline that word all. Why? Because partial strength is weakness. Partial obedience is disobedience. Partial success is failure. He's saying, having done all, put everything into it. We're then told how to be strong by utilizing all of the armor that God has provided for us. But it takes growth. Yeah, I think about, when I read that passage, I think about David. And he said, hey, I'll stand up against Goliath. And so they said, here, put on this armor. And they took him, a youth, and put a man's armor on him, put the king's armor on him. And I can almost just picture it. He's standing there and he's awkwardly moving around and he can't even get his shield up. And he finally says, I can't do this. I can't wear this stuff. I'm not proving these things. What did he go with? He went with the tools that he knew how to use, and he went with the power of God. That's all that we need, and that's all that we have. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. God has provided everything that we need to grow. Everything that we need to live godly. Everything that we need to go into spiritual maturity as faithful Christians. According as his divine power, God has given all of this stuff to us. hath given unto us, he's talking to Christians, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And you say, great, wonderful, give me another helping of it. No, wait a minute, you got to finish reading. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Stop and think about it. How do we know about Christ? Would we know about Christ without the Word? Would we know about God without the Word? We think of this speaking only of the Word, but know that even in the creation of man and through the procreation of man, that we have the opportunity to grow. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that God, through these processes that he put in place, gave us the capacity to learn. He gave us the capacity to know. He gave us the ability to grow. But it takes sound thinking on the part of a Christian. It takes effort on the part of a Christian. It takes diligence on the part of the Christian that wants to grow spiritually. Timothy was told, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's important that we realize all the wonderful things that God has given us is for our benefit, so that we might be pleasing to him. How do we learn to overcome Satan, the wiles of the devil? Through a knowledge of the Word. Plain and simple. The more we know about the Word, the better we are able to defend ourselves. Turn with me to Psalms 119, beginning in verse 9 and reading through verse 15. We're going to see their instructions for a young man, but this is applicable to every soul who is of the age of accountability. Those who have considered life and the reality of life and the conclusion of life. The psalmist was directed there to write Psalms 119, beginning in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his heart? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. What had he done? Look at verse 10. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. How diligently do we seek God? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know how easy it is to wander from God's commandments? It's kind of like the cracks in the concrete in the driveway. I have never, ever seen a grass seed in the crack in the driveway. But if I don't attend to those cracks in the driveway, before you know it, you got grass poking up there. And there's something interesting about grass. As much as you see up, there's that much down, rooted, drawing nourishment, forcing that concrete apart. What was he saying? I don't want to wander from thy commandments. I don't want to be separated from God. I don't want to harm myself. And therefore, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You ever sin? You ever wonder why you sin? You ever sin and look back and say, why did I do that? We all do. But if we hide his word in our hearts, if our minds are filled with the word of God, the potentiality of sin is so much less, because we're going to say, no, that's not right. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. He has given us his entire word for us to learn. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. How important is the word of God to us? I've often said that Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. I'm going to amend that. It's true, we should be. But why? It's because we are the richest people in the world. And no, we're not talking about monetary wealth. We're talking about spiritually. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will have respect unto thy ways. What do we see here? We see a young man on his way to spiritual growth, continuing in it. And notice that spiritual growth does not cease. It does not stop. There's an interesting thing that goes on in life. We grow to a certain height. And in our youth, we attain that height. But as we get older, we actually get small. I'm not as tall as I once was. I'm wider than I ever was. But I'm not as tall as I once was. But that is physical. Spiritually, we should not ever shrink in stature. We continue in the Word of God. We will continue to grow. We will continue to be stronger spiritually. And there is a benefit in that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. We know this is written to Christians who were Jews, who had obeyed the gospel, and but they were being enticed to go back under the old law. And their rest that they had been in their history was when their ancestors had come into the promised land. And the penman of the Hebrew letter, directed by the Spirit, writes and tells them, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. As Christians, they are the people of God. There was no more Jew or Gentile. The Jewish system had been completely done away with. That old law had been nailed to the cross. And he's talking about the people of God. He's talking about Christians. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. What does that tell us? That from the time that we are born spiritually, when we become a child of God, that we are to work until our time here on this earth is over. That means growing. That means growing spiritually. Verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. How much do you want to go to heaven? How important is it for you to go to heaven? If it's important to you, you need to grow spiritually. Christians should diligently strive to grow spiritually. Yes, it's going to take work, but it's well worth it. However, one must be born spiritually before one can grow spiritually. Very easy process to begin. One must hear the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus himself spoke these words in John 3, 16. One must repent, as Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 shows. That is not optional. It is a command. One must confess. Also a command in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And one must be baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, as Peter stood before Cornelius and those gathered there, he commanded them to be baptized. Guess what happened? Everyone who were baptized into Christ, having been properly taught, became a child of God and began their journey towards spiritual growth. But to maintain that journey, one must remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. We are human. We do stumble. We do fall. Those who are children of God who fail in growing spiritually will find themselves falling. When they do, God has planned for that eventuality. And he provided the instruction we find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Those sin. Any sin that is in our life that is private needs to be addressed privately. But if it's a public sin and it's brought shame and reproach upon the church, it must be dealt with publicly. Why is it important to grow spiritually? Because if we do not do so, we will not see God. How is that made possible? Through Christ. Without him, we could do nothing. Without him, we would surely fail. Without him, we'd be lost forever. If indeed Christ is not the center of your life, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you must do so today. This may be the last opportunity that you have. If indeed you are in Christ, but you've allowed sin to come in and dwell in your life, you must come back to him. Without him, there is no spiritual growth. There is no eternal life. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?